You live?
Okay, call our meeting to order. Back to order. Commissioners Straffus and Fennell, and our road and bridge superintendent, Mr. Preston.
Under posted at 1 o'clock, if you can, Mr. Chairman, Pitney Bowes, I'd like to just gain agreement that we can send our new mailroom clerk, which is Michael Gibbs, to a seminar hosted by Pitney Bowes in Kansas City. All the expenses are covered with the exception of travel to Kansas City, which he can use one of the county vehicles. But it appears that all other expenses are covered by this one-day seminar. So do we need to motion anything? So I'll move that we send Michael to the Pitney Bowes seminar on June 22nd, 23rd.
And approve using the vehicle to
and
bid.
And approve a vehicle, yep.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I would be interested when we have time to get an update on how we're starting out on that, on our mailroom job.
Okay, and I've got something for you on that, too, if we want to talk about. One other thing I was going to move, I don't know if you got a message, too. Commissioner Strahan is under medication right now and wants to participate in the Quail Road, but he's asked that we table the Quail Road discussions until he comes back. I didn't ask the question if that gentleman was going to be here or not. I don't think he was notified.
Probably not.
So I'm going to say let's just take it off the agenda, and I'll repost it.
Okay.
Probably in a couple of days, maybe Wednesday or something.
It'd be good.
So
we could notify Mr. Burton.
Uh-huh.
And you were going, you had questions of our counselor. You need to be sure you got that.
I didn't get all the answers. I got some, but then I got distracted. So I'll make sure I get the answers discussed with Counselor Paulson.
We can make a note there, ask the girls to, ladies to call.
Burton. I got it right here.
Great.
Reschedule Quail Road. Okay. So that one's off of there. All we have left is the 165 quarry. I wanted to have a discussion about Tiger Grant and then Frank's session.
Okay. All right. Frank, you want to?
The mail room. We're going to talk about mail room real fast.
You want to do some of these others first?
Let me just knock this one out real fast.
Okay. So,
Gary Morgan met with me last Friday, I think it was, or maybe on Thursday. He has put together an email and... he put together some concepts of an email, and what I wanted to show you is what his thinking is. We've reworded it a little bit. This is a tentative agenda that he has put together for the mailroom position. What he would like to do is send an email out to all department heads and elected officials. This is what he wants to say.
Okay.
And then have this in the email body also. So basically, letting everyone know that we've got a position we've created. Ask for survey information if they want us to pick the mail up. This is kind of the agenda, that his daily schedule, so people kind of knew when the mail would be picked up. It's nothing new that we haven't talked about, but put it in an email, and he wants permission to send that to all department heads and elected officials.
Very good.
And I thought what the questions were simple enough. That kind of tells everyone what our tentative schedule is going to be.
Okay.
And just wanted to run that by
good.
You.
Thank
so,
you.
I will have to tell Gary that he can send it out.
So, good.
That was that discussion. And I think if you saw in the letter, they're hoping to start this next Monday.
Right,
14th. What they did, I think you may have, if you talk to Renee pretty often, but Renee moved her office down two slots. You saw that,
right,
didn't you?
Right.
Because she used some space. I was being resourceful. Dixie moved over to Renee's spot, which was bigger, and then that put the mailroom person next to the mailroom.
Right.
So that's
good plan.
So that was the 14th. They're hoping to go live on the 14th. Is what. And I guess Gary had some carts that he's ordered through his budget. To help facilitate, he told me he ordered some carts that weren't very expensive for mailroom clerks that they can do the interoffice mail. He's also done some, got some letters and stuff. So I think this email will start the conversation, and we should see some positive feedbacks there. So anyway, that was that discussion.
Okay.
And I'll do Tiger Grant, and then it'll segue into Frank here. The Tiger Grant 2 is something that... is a grant application that we can pursue if we choose to as a commission.
Mm-hmm.
There is some been discussion. I've talked with Mr. Ziegenfuss. I've talked to I may have talked to Frank. I can't remember who else I talked to about possibly submitting three or four small projects under the Tiger II grant from a concept perspective. And let me explain. Like the first one would be if we wanted to pursue the East-West corridor. Taking the intersection to Maple Street, because that helps Hollister complete that, that takes care of the easement. I've been talking to the bank who owns that property right now.
Okay.
They're very open to doing that, but they said you got to do it soon before we have a buyer. But that would help Hollister get that that loop around to Maple Street, which is what their hope is. Plus, it also gives us the ability to flexibility to go beyond if we ever go beyond. So possibly doing an intersection there. Gosh, who was it? Maybe it was you, Frank.
You did talk to me.
Okay.
160.
And then, yeah, we'll talk about that. And then the other one would be the J over on the other end of the East-West, fixing it for Kirbyville so that Kirbyville could have a loop area on the other end, just that intersection by itself. Then I also wanted to bring up maybe the F-160 intersection, submitting that as a Tiger Grant, because I don't believe Forsyth submitted that. They submitted widening of 160 through Forsyth, but they didn't submit anything for the F and 160 intersection. And conceptually, we had some earmark money that dissolved because we weren't quite prepared for it from MoDOT, from
right.
Congresswoman Emerson. And then the other one I wanted to bring up was possibly looking at doing the intersection or looking at Fall Creek Road and 165. There's been some concept drawings I've seen over the years. Once again, that could be enough spark plug for us to get that improved where the city of Branson would take it over. They've expressed a desire to own that if we could get the intersection improved a little bit. Some of those things, I just want to have the conversation. We still have time, but we need to make it a decision if we're going to go after this Tiger II money. We've already got some of the preliminary money. We've already done some of the investments, so it wouldn't be a big deal to go ahead and further on the applications. I don't know what the cost is. If we were going to, we'd probably talk to Frank or talk to Linda or Debbie Redford. We have some budget items for grant help, grant writer help, and see if someone could look into that possibly and just see if we couldn't, with a nominal expense, try to submit for some projects that we may have either through that or CDBG, any one of those to take advantage of at least that Tiger II money, at least participate. So anyway, I threw that out. There you go. We can start the discussion now.
Okay.
What do you think?
Got some ideas?
I think we should go for the opportunity every chance we get. I haven't tried to prioritize the ones that we've talked about, but should there be a prioritization done in the three or four that you mentioned?
Or we just do all four? I mean, when I was in D.C., they talked about the maximum. They're hoping to keep the maximum size of any award at about $1 million or less. So I think all those projects would be individually $1 million or less.
Mm-hmm.
We just submit multiple applications and see. I'd say a shotgun approach, but it's more of a shotgun approach.
Okay, so what's the thought as far as cost? I mean, we're not talking about engineering. We're just talking about cost and writing the grants up.
What I'd like to kind of not permission kind of agreement that I could talk to Great River and see what Spencer would charge because he has a lot of that data and just see what the cost would be for him to fill out the application.
Okay.
And so I at least can come back with an answer for you what the cost is because we have money in one budget item that we could take to pay him for that. I just don't know the answer. I just wanted to throw that out.
I have high regards for Great River, mm-hmm. but I have a but, and that is we've been approached at times that other engineers would do the grant work for free.
Right.
And we've also had conversations about spreading out the work. And so,
let me ask you this: how those projects came up with? Maybe I get with Frank, get a list of maybe six projects, and then maybe we spread it out between a few engineers and see what they say.
I'm good with talking with them.
Okay.
Will this, if, I mean, I just, I wonder, I would like to take advantage of the opportunity and try to at least get some money. There's an investigation that Senator McCaskill had filed or co-filed on the Tiger One grant.
Right.
So she's investigating the process in which they awarded those. I think Kent Bond was also part of that. It was a bipartisan. Everyone's starting to shake their head saying the way they awarded stuff, it didn't go well. So I would just like to make sure we're our hat's in the ring, so to speak. But what I'd like to do then is get a list from Frank or work with Frank to get a list, contact the engineering firms, and come back before the commission and with some recommendations and any associated costs that would be, if that's acceptable.
Yep. You give that? Sounds good to me.
Okay.
What kind of deadline do we have?
It's got to be in their hands by July something, like 16th, 15th. I can pull it up. Let me pull it up for you.
So about 30 days, maybe.
We have about 30 days. That's all I wanted to really say.
HDR, Archer's got, I think they're the ones that looked at the F-160, aren't they?
I think so.
And so they would make, you know, they may have some of that information that'd be easy for them.
Sure.
I don't know who, of course I'm sure it'd be a big change, but the Fall Creek and 165, we made it. Was that before you got here, Frank?
Before, yeah.
We have those plans.
Right.
That's what I was thinking, that we could contact that engineer and they might have some information that wouldn't have to be duplicated.
Okay.
I don't remember who did that. And I guess Great River's a part of the east-west corridor on the west end. They've done work there, I understand.
Yeah, so I've heard
sure.
I heard the same thing.
So there may be enough information that
my hope is that we spend over. My hope is that there's zero or near zero cost involved to at least apply.
I'm all for applying. Okay. I'm hesitant to spend much money in doing it unless we've got some better assurance than I had last time.
The only date that I've got here, sir, is September 15th is the award date. They're awarding the grants in 120 days. So if we go back, is that July? July, August, September. It wouldn't be June, surely. Anyway, it's soon. I will post something quickly later on this week then. And Frank and I will get working as fast as possible.
Well, if it's June 15th, we have to work really fast.
Yeah, I know. So I was doing the math. I don't show that here, but anyway, that's all I've got on the Tiger 2. I wanted to bring it up and just have a conversation.
Good. All right. Road and Bridge. Anybody listening, we're going to table Quail Road, shoot for maybe Wednesday to discuss that drainage issue. So, what you got for us, sir?
I wanted to mention to everybody listening, anybody in the county, that parking lot next to Shorty Cooper is open and available today. I did see a few cars parked there after lunch. I did let Sheriff Jimmy Russell know that the parking lot was also open for business as of this morning. The next thing I have for you is a short four-minute video. I put together a bunch of paperwork, research on retreading tires for you. I'd like for you to consider allowing us to use recap tires on the back wheels of all of the large trucks that we drive. Several weeks ago, it became apparent to me that we spent a lot of money on tires. In the year 2009, we spent $70,438 on tires. In figuring out why, it came to my attention that we put brand new tires all the way around on all of our equipment, including our dump trucks. It's the first. Personally, I wouldn't do it if I owned a trucking company. It's never been that way any place else I've ever worked. So then I did some research on recap tires, and it's illegal to put them on the front steering tires. But also, there's a misconception in the retreading tire world that they're unsafe, that all of the road alligators are what they're called on the road, the skins. Actually, two-thirds of those come from brand new tires, and they don't have anything to do with recap tires. The most common failure for a large truck tire is under or over inflation, which heats them up and causes a failure. So instead of giving you 10 pages each of research on to give you a level of comfort for my suggestion, I found a 4-minute video last week, and I'd like to play that now, which will give you a nice heads up on retreading tires. Mr. Yust?
With over 200,000 vehicles being monitored daily, Trimble knows transportation in this field. So why not let Trimble help you select a GPS weight tracking or a mobile field service solution that's right for your company?
Seen that happen in the middle of the show.
It's on the yesterday's
retreating in time. It's become that good. The cost savings between retreads and new tires is going to be anywhere from 3 to 1, 4 to 1, 5 to 1. There's a tremendous difference in the amount of time, energy, rubber, and resources that are needed to produce a new tire versus. The example that we love to give is, you know, the barrels of oil, the billions of barrels of oil that retreading saves, because tires are largely petrochemical products. And if you think about the casing itself, 60, 70, 80% of the cost of building that tire goes into building the casing, which is the belt packages, the beads, and the actual body of the tire itself. When you just replace the tread portion, which is the retread process, you're talking a fraction of the amount of energy that's necessary, a fraction of the amount of oil that's necessary, and a fraction of the amount of the cost. And like I said earlier, the performance advantages in today's retreads is so much better with inspection technology and just performance in general that it really makes sense for a fleet to use retreading to lower cost per mile. It may not work on every vehicle. It may not work on every fleet. But you certainly can find areas where quality retreads are going to deliver equal to or better than the results of a new tire. In fact, in some instances, retreads can actually improve the performance over a new tire because they have the ability to change different compounds. It's real easy to produce different types of tread compounds and different types of tread designs when you're talking about retreading because it's a much faster process from the manufacturing standpoint. On the new tire side, for them to change the tread design requires major retooling, and it's going to take years for it to really take hold and actually overcome the market. And that's really why you see in the new tire market, tread designs don't change very much. But in the retread market, tread designs are changing constantly because they can improve those compounds, they can improve those tread designs. And you're utilizing your assets. Again, that's the important thing that we have to recognize. Tires and assets. You're paying for an asset, and you need to maximize that asset until it's done. And when it's done, it's given up its lifespan, and then you put it in the scrap pile, then you recycle that tire. And that's the other side of this, is that in a perfect world, you buy that new tire, you retread it 2 or 3 times, and then you recycle it, and it's an endless loop. And then you're not throwing anything away. It's really an effective way for fleets to save money. You have to give them a chance. Because things have changed. And if you're not willing to embrace that, and if you're not willing to recognize that retreads can save you money, then you're probably going to have a higher tire cost per mile in the long run because of the fact that there is so much money involved in building that new tire. And the retreading aspect is so much less when it comes to the actual cost.
Thank you.
That it?
Again.
So you mentioned 2 things. Cost savings. So he said somewhere 3, 4, 5 to 6 to 1 savings. What do you think?
I'm not quite so sure I'm in agreement with that. We have two major tire manufacturers or providers, Purcell Tire and Ozarko Tire, that provide 90% of the tires to the county for most of our over-the-road equipment. Currently, we're paying on average just under $300 per tire.
Okay.
We have spoke with both of these representatives and looked at some tread patterns in the recapped world that are very similar to the patterns that we're using, and that they're somewhat aggressive in nature so that they're handle well off-road and also are handle well on the road and not with, without a lot of noise, which is associated with a rather aggressive tread. The tires that we're looking at in the retread world run approximately $150 to $180.
The two-to-one savings.
Yes.
Okay.
So with the year 2009 having spent $70,400, I think we could see a significant savings to the county by going retread. And I really have researched this. I'm comfortable in doing it. It's what I thought we were doing here. I was what opened up my eyes was the number that we've been spending on tires.
Well, Frank, first of all, I want to applaud you for looking at the budget and finding a creative way to save money. So that's the first thing. You looked at something you normally don't look at, mm-hmm. and it looks like you could save potentially $30,000 out of your budget.
I think it's possible, yes.
So, I mean, if you spent 70-plus thousand, mm-hmm. that's a...
So all of the tires we currently own are what I would call a new tire, basically. Both of the vendors that have been talked to are wondering why we haven't looked at this in the past. They would rather sell us new tires. And we'll continue to buy new tires for the fronts as because that's the law. But I wanted to breach you with that information because in a small percentage of people are still under the belief that recaps or retreads are something that's not safe. I did find that 90% of all airlines throughout the world use retreads on their airplane tires.
Hmm.
So
yeah, that's interesting.
That was a unique tidbit. I do have four or five pages of information. Basically, I'm asking for your authorization or blessing to move forward with using recaps on the backside drivers of Taney County dump trucks with the anticipation of saving a significant...
So backsides on both sides?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, both back axles, all eight tires on the... Actually,
I'm good with it, Chuck. Are you?
Yeah. Question, you talk to your tire people, I mean, our staff that
yes.
work with tires? And
yes.
Some disagreement, but nothing big. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't have any disagreement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't have any disagreement.
Sounds good. Go for it.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I agree.
Thank you. Next subject, last week, myself, three representatives from Great River Engineering, Mel, the full-time inspector that was on the job, and an associate engineer that's also involved with the job, met with representatives from Larry Snyder & Company to walk and talk and drive the entire Y Highway Sewer project. Prior to the project, there was a pre-construction video taken of all of the pre-existing conditions prior to the project even being started. What did the roads look like? What did the landscape look like? And everything like that. We did that in anticipation that after the project, there would be some questions as to whether or not the damage that was done by the project was pre-existing or not. So this particular meeting, which lasted about 2.5 hours last Friday, I believe, we walked to all of the disrupted or pushed or shoved or potholed areas of the entire project and took a look at the still photos on the pre-existing condition video and made notes as to how much of a responsibility or financial responsibility does the county versus Larry Snyder & Company have in fixing any particular portion of the road. A lot of them were 100% Larry Snyder Company is responsible for repairing this section of road because in the pre-construction video we saw absolutely no deterioration in the subject matter or area at all. Some of them, we made a discussion that it was 25% county responsive. If there was a little bit of damage and that area blew up, it was like a 25% ratio. If it was, I wouldn't call it significant damage, but you saw areas of distress, it was a 50-50. Larry Snyder's contention was that none of these areas were his responsibility because the road just happened to fall apart. Maybe it was maybe it happened a little sooner than anticipated, that all of the heavy trucking activities may or may not have had something to do with that. My stand was that all of the heavy construction activities did have something to do with that, regardless of what the road conditions were. So with the Council of Great River Engineering, Randy, who's been intimately involved with the project since conception and actual construction days starting, we came up with a game plan to, these areas in the road have to be, they're distressed, they're broken, they're pushed, they're shoved, they need to be repaired. What I'm asking you for is authorization to move forward with having Larry Snyder and Company repair these sections of the road. Scope, number, cost, and square footage have not been identified yet. That's being done probably today and tomorrow, this week. So there'll be some money that will be money's anticipated coming out of road and bridge budget to repair these sections of road that were damaged due to construction activities.
Well, we don't know how much.
We don't know how much. Just letting you know that we had that meeting. I anticipate getting a report this week. Alternate options would be to say, no, we're not fixing any of it. It was all caused on you, and then we'd be in a long battle, I believe, with LS&C. I think what we did the other day, at least by the parties that I spoke with, it was a good faith effort to find a middle ground for both parties involved, and with the number of people there, the representation that we had, and with Randy being intimately involved with the project on a very regular basis, the ratios and percentages that we came up with, I personally felt like we'd done a fair and honest job for both parties involved.
I got called about a dirt issue on the sewer project Friday.
Okay.
And went down, looked about that, and during the conversation was the pre-construction videos. It was just folks that had an issue. There was supposed to be a flower garden, and so anyway, the issue came up with the videos. Mel was there, and John and Josh, I believe it is, with Larry Snyder. Anyway, the comments were very positive that thank goodness we did the videos ahead of time, and because it's just exactly what you described is what they described. Bottom line being, it seemed to them that it was a fair county contractor
okay.
mix on who should be 50 or 25 mm-hmm. or 100 or whatever the case. So, anyway, the report I got there was very positive that it was done fairly.
So
we were going to have to, I mean,
it needs to be repaired regardless.
It got to be repaired regardless, and the cost is being shared.
And you're comfortable right. with the sharing and all that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I would say before we start the construction, we need to know what we're stepping into, because if he comes back and says our share is $5 million,
right.
I'm not sure I'm too excited about spending that.
I would think that Frank can judge that whether or not, whether reasonable or not.
Right. I'd ask for a square footage and estimated cost sometime by mid of this week is what I asked for last week. The one uncertainty or unknown at this point in time is unsuitable subgrade, which they've run into in other portions of that job.
Okay.
So even when I come back with a number on Wednesday or so of this week, if they run into unsuitable subgrade, it could be...
a lot?
I don't know how much unsuitable subgrade they've run into on that entire project, but based on some of the push-outs and shove-outs that I'm seeing, there have been some subgrade issues.
So I didn't have a question I should have had until now, and that is, so Road and Bridge is doing this?
No, this would be done by subcontractor for Snyder.
But you're going to subsidize some of this with your budget.
That's my hope.
And we don't know how much that is.
I will by mid this week.
But this is work they're not going to do. They're subbing it out, you're saying?
Yes.
So Jernigan or whoever the case would be.
A paving subcontractor.
So will you have the opportunity to kind of oversee what they're doing? I mean, as far as, for instance, the cost of asphalt?
Yes.
That they're paying for what we're bid, what we're paying, those kind of things?
With full-time inspection from Great River Engineering, I would be comfortable in that. Our interests were well covered while the construction's out in the field going on.
All right, sounds like we're good. Just want you to oversee it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, what is there a dollar figure you're going to say, I need to talk to the commission? I mean, what's your thoughts? What do you think this is going to cost?
I really don't have a clue. We did a lot of walking, a lot of marking with orange paint. Until I get an answer this.
When do you think you'll have it?
This Wednesday or so.
Chuck, I'd like to know what the number is. Before, I mean, I'm concerned that this could be in multiple millions of dollars.
Okay. I'm guessing $20,000 at this point in time.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to get some sort of feedback. Yeah, I'm talking, are we 6 digits? Are we in 7 digits?
Right. I hate to put a number on something, then it comes in at 10 or 30, and then I feel foolish
At what point were you, okay, 100,000, would you say that's too much?
I would say 50 is too much at this point in time.
Oh, just go ahead and have fun. I just didn't know what blank check we're writing here.
Okay.
How big is the level?
I understand the logic.
Okay. Sounds great.
What, you got a dozen places or something?
Dozen, 18 or so,
18.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all better now.
Okay.
I didn't know how big a scope we're talking here. Why, I was pretty big, so.
It is. And then I didn't have a heck of a lot else because we had anticipated a executive session personnel for today, so I wanted to keep my normal agenda short.
And with Danny not being here, there's probably no reason to have the executive session. Isn't he the one who kind of asked for it?
I told him that I think we should have an executive session today.
Well, we could still
we can brief the subject,
and when we get done with the other,
I think
we can do that. I know what Mr. Strahan's feelings and thoughts are. I think I could speak for him.
You don't want to, but
Eddie says, don't do that.
I wouldn't do that, but yeah. Okay, so is that all you had, Frank?
That's all I had.
Let's pause and go to Eddie then.
Okay. How you doing there?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I brought another letter. Just a little bit of a change, not too much. But also, I contacted DNR to find out about past... violations and how they've been corrected, things like that. They've taken my request and then will go back to me later.
Okay.
So it's not something I could get back to put on this right away. I am expecting a call later in the afternoon, if not by in the morning. So went into a little more detail of why this was originally denied by the Planning and Zoning and then approved by the Board of Adjustment. They did deem this to be a low-impact type commercial operation that would fit well in that kind of neighborhood situation. They also did put some extra stipulations on the decision of record as to turn lanes and things like that, which none of that's been done either at this particular time. But they did go on to say that, as far as I could gather, that nobody in the county here was aware that this change had been taking place. And until confronted with the probability of a stop work order in 2008, we couldn't get a representative for Gary Shaver, mm-hmm. the property there, to come before. But when we confronted them with the stop work order, they did come before our board and let us know that they had changed to a quarry operation. Indicated to them that we didn't want this to expand. We wanted it to go back to what the original intent was for the property that it was zoned for, and that we would even... back their decision to halt the operation as it existed now and get it, you know, moved on. I don't know how far you want to go with that, but that's basically what the letter says. Of course, it need to be approved by Mr. Paulson.
Well, it's from you. I'm good with the content of it. So.
Yep, me too.
So you can send it away. Put it in proper format. You can probably make it one page, probably. Try to.
One page just gets a little more attention, I think.
Yeah, I think two pages loses the effect.
Yeah, we can do that.
I know. We'll be talking about yours next.
So anyway, that's what I've got. Like I say, I'll let Bob peruse it. He always makes corrections for me and everything.
Yeah, he's a school teacher.
And it's good to have. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing it.
Here's a letter I've got from Mr. Paulson. That's why he came down here. He just sent it to it. This is what he just typed up. There is, I don't know if we need all of this, but why don't you, read it real fast, Chuck?
I'll do a quick one. Obviously.
I know the feeling.
Before you read on it, I'll just say something. I was going to say we could take a couple of those paragraphs out of there because that's what Eddie had put in his letter, and we might just make it a shorter letter because it looks like the last three paragraphs is really hitting to what we wanted to talk about, and even the first paragraph was something. I think taking the history that out of there
and make mention of this letter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's in there anyway.
Oh, you got mentioned in there.
I think so.
I didn't mention the letter from Planning and Zoning. I just mentioned Planning and Zoning.
I think we kept it shorter.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Here, Bob, I'll send it back to you.
All right.
But then let's just do this. I move that we send a letter from the commission having authorizing Chuck to sign it in opposition to the quarry on 165 by the commissioners.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I'll send this back to you and see if you can't. All I want you to do is add a mention to the other letter.
All right.
And I'll cut and paste and send it right back to you.
I can mention the other letter
if you'd
rather.
I'm
going to
send it right now.
All right. I'm going to go to my office.
And you're going
to
see it. I'm replying it right now.
All right.
It's in your email. See what you think.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Motion to go to executive session pursuant section 610.021.3 for personnel.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You don't need me for this.
No.
Motion carries.
Before you turn off, just want to let everyone know this is the last thing we have on the agenda today. So.
So we'll be recessing after this executive. Very good. Thanks for remembering to do that.
So those who are just riveted to listen.